You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Oh. Oh.
You heard that sound. Oh. That is Stugatz getting the list of culprits to be found in the useless sound montage. Who excited you? I saw Dan Campbell in there. Who excited you, Stugatz?
Fangs.
Fangs is undefeated. Fangs wants everybody in the league. Fangs, the league is a better place when Fangs is relevant. Billy, how has the depths of the dungeon, the useless sound dungeon, felt this week?
Not great. Not great. I'm looking at the list now, and I didn't realize. So Joe Judge doesn't look like he made the list this week, which is a disappointment because Joe Judge is just great. He's an up-and-coming star, but I guess he just didn't bring it this week. But he, oh, God, I love Joe Judge. Joe Judge might be my favorite coach in a while since, who's my last favorite coach?
Pagano. You love Pagano.
Yeah, yeah, we miss Pagano.
I thought he was still a D coordinator, but he retired, unfortunately. So he's still out. He's out of the league now. He's left us. Well, not us. He's still alive. You know what I mean, Dan? He's
I do no understand.
So Judge had nothing useless after a tough loss at home to the Falcons.
Joe Judge is the most pro fan coach that I've ever heard. Like everything he does, he encourages the fans to be booing the players. This is New York. They need to toughen up. It's their job to entertain the fans. It's cute for now. I wonder how long he's going to be singing that tune once they start
booing. Cute for
him.
Now. They started 0-2 each of the last five seasons. They've got to be longing for McAdoo. And we made fun of McAdoo across two seasons. His record's terrible. What is he? Like, is he 6-14 or something? And they're not. How are they going to get any better?
I don't know. That's for Joe Judge to figure out.
Let's play the useless sound montage.
Vic, what would you say to folks who are like, hey, you're 3-0, but the three wins have come against teams that are combined 0-9?
Nothing. That's just the schedule. They're right. You know, that's a fact, what you just said.
You know, in college, we used to say, let's go play for four quarters or as long as it takes to win.
Your group coming out of this, pats on the back or kicks in the backside?
Yes, both.
Interceptions are part of the game, and you obviously don't want to throw them.
Bill, what did you see on Mac's interceptions?
Same thing you saw.
Every play counts, man. Every opportunity counts. Every drive counts.
He's going to take a perfect ball, a perfect snap, a perfect hold, and a perfect kick.
At the end of the day, those people don't matter. When it comes to wins and losses, they're not helping us win. They're not helping us lose.
I don't apologize for winning these games, no matter how we won them.
My expectations were for us to play better than we did.
They had obviously a picket fence, if you will.
The things that we have to correct, we will most certainly continue to work on.
None of us played well enough, him included. None of us coached well enough. me included.
I've worked a lot on just playing the next play.
Just the look in his eyes, I think everybody could tell the way he was running. It seemed angry, angrier than usual.
As long as you're going 100 miles an hour, don't be afraid to fail.
You know, I'm not interested in making any plans as I sit here right now, man. I'm just summarizing what transpired in the stadium. We have the upcoming days and hours to plot a course for how we move forward.
There's no real rhyme or reason, I guess. All right, there is a rhyme or reason, but there's no certain situations that I know that I'm going in or don't.
It was a dumb decision on my part. Take full responsibility for it.
I'm not going to point the fingers at anybody else. It's got to, I'll point the thumb at myself.
That starts with me.
I need to be better. That's on me.
That's why I wasn't dink and dunk. You don't have any time for that.
The defense has a say, too. You know, it's a game of cat and mouse.
It's a loud place, and there were too many doggone Dolphin fans there. I noticed that today.
I'm worried about it, but like I said, I worry about everything.
I would never try to give Urban Meyer advice.
That's the way it is in the NFL. You have to take care of business.
Sometimes in this league, that's the way it is. We battled, and then when it was time, we stepped up, made the plays we had to make.
A blessing to have, you know, the late registration of Odell come in and play for us.
We're going to be where our feet are planted. We're going to enjoy tonight, and then we're going to come back ready to work.
Players played their asses off today.
We're continuing to get better, finding ways to win. You know, there's never going to be a point where you feel like you've reached the graduation level.
Petered his tail off.
For us, we just have that mindset, not being college dropouts, continuing to get better, and you know, finding ways to win.
Yeah, we'll take it one at a time.
You got to tip your hat to him sometimes.
That's when you know you're in the zone. So that's the life of Pablo for Kareem.
We had fired all our bullets at that juncture.
He's out there eating. You know, watch the throne with him.
You take you a deuce. You don't sit there and look at it. You flush it and move on. You don't flush it and move on.
What?
Music. Yes, that's Jalen Hurts last night, Stugatz.
No
he
way.
Says, yes, yeah, you take the deuce. You don't sit there and look at it. You flush it and move on.
No one loves to plot a course more than Mike Tomlin.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Does anyone like to plot a course more than Mike Tomlin? Jalen Hurts. ESPN said Jalen Hurts was ready. They sent out this video of him dancing on the sidelines, turn this shit up, and then it's flush this shit down. He went, they said he was ready, Stugatz. Yeah. Hurts is ready, and he's all fired up, and then Dallas smokes him, and you rarely hear a quarterback talk like that at the end. But that was music, Billy. Thank you for making it. Urban Meyer's sorrow is a nice touch. I hear you're dropping him in
his
there
pain.
Because he sounds he's extra sad. He's going to break? Is that
poor
what you're
guy,
saying?
Yeah.
National spotlight on Thursday.
He has never lost three straight anythings in his life, right? I mean, there's no way.
And they're really bad. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Jets, Lions, or Jags? It's just the Jets and the Jags that you're talking about now for worst team in the league, right?
It's Jets and Jags. Yeah, the Jets are going to be the worst team.
Yeah, will be.
They will be. Right. I mean, Urban's trying to win a game or two.
Lions are due. I feel bad for the Lions. At least they're playing hard.
They are.
Well, the Jags played hard. They're just not any good.
They're not as bad as the Jets. Yeah. The Jaguars will win.
You guys are saying that these teams aren't playing hard? That's an argument you guys are willing to make that you don't believe? I think the Jets' offense looks like that, and therefore everyone looks like they're not playing hard because they stink at offense. That's incompetence, Stugatz. You can't watch what's happening in the league right now with the precision of these quarterbacks and look at what's happening with the Jets and not say that's super amateur what's happening there.
That's no offensive line, and it's amateur, but the Jets have been amateur for my entire life, so I'm not surprised.
You saw Spencer Hall tweeted out something that went viral, a 12-year-old showing a play against the Patriots. It was uproariously funny because everything that could be going, it was a work of art. The video breakdown by a 12-year-old of nothing being available to Zach Wilson and when things are available to Zach Wilson, he's inaccurate on 6-yard outs, Stugatz. Like, you've seen it, right? The difference in he's not in any way ready for what he's in the middle of.
He's not in any way ready for a team that has no offensive line, no wide receivers, no running backs, really not a great defense. Yeah, he wasn't ready for that. I mean, who could be ready for that? No one's ever ready for the Jets, Dan. Okay.
We're seeing across the league that the incoming rookie wunderkind quarterback is not a panacea. We see it with Justin Fields and Zach Wilson now and Trevor Lawrence and Tua.
if the surrounding talent is not there, the quarterback can't lift everything.
My fear is the guy who got the rookie quarterback is the guy who's not playing his rookie quarterback, and that's Kyle Shanahan. Like, maybe he got the one of the five that's going to be great, but we don't know yet, and not knowing is a cool thing.
Right.
Because I think we know the other four are just okay, at least right now.
Let's get to Matt Sullivan here. Last time we talked to him, people found fascinating the unvarnished look at inside the Nets organization. The name of the book is Can't Knock the Hustle, Inside the Season of Protest, Pandemic, and Progress with the Brooklyn Nets Superstars of Tomorrow. It is available now. And Matt, thank you for making time for us again, because you also wrote this story for Rolling Stone that has everybody talking about Kyrie Irving today. Can you take us through what made this story happen, what you started hearing, and just take us through the reporting on this?
Well, thanks for having me back aboard the pirate ship, Dan. Just before we get started, if I may, I'd like to read a few facts, just because this is an important conversation for people who care about sanity. Fact A, the Moderna vaccine, according to a study published last week in the New England Journal of Medicine, has a real-world efficacy rate in preventing symptomatic illness of 98.3%. Fact B, the Pfizer vaccine is 88.3% effective, according to the same study. Fact C, both of these things are true if you actually take the vaccine. And fact D, Kyrie Irving said in 2017 about satellites, I guess, that, quote, when I started actually doing research on my own and figuring out that there is no real picture of Earth, not one real picture of Earth, and we haven't been back to the moon since 1961 or 1969, it becomes like conspiracy too, end quote, which, Dan, is not in and of itself actually really a fact whatsoever. But this stuff, you know, got me thinking. I've been deep inside Kyrie world for a long time, but the more and more I wondered, you know, with this New York City law now and in San Francisco, that guys basically have to get the vax, right? It's like you can't hide in this kind of secret society of anti-vaxxers anymore. And so America's most progressive cities kind of bailed out America's most progressive league by saying Hooper's got to get vaxxed. So, of course, Kyrie, this kind of humanitarian provocateur influencer, he's going to test the bounds of the NBA and science and the law by just potentially refusing to play games here in Brooklyn. So I started tapping all my sources from the book, at least the ones who would still talk to me, and they just kind of ran their mouths.
Well, let's backtrack for a second. You've lost a lot of sources because of the book, because I've seen that Kevin Durant hasn't denied anything that was in the book. You basically reported, there was a lot of reporting in the book, but that the Nets run that organization, that those players, right, that Durant and Kyrie run that organization. That was the bombshell, although it was much more thorough than that, and there was much more reporting. What's the blowback and the fallout been?
I think they're scared. You know, they've been lucky that nobody had to talk until media day on Monday. And I didn't really trust anybody to have to answer for that stuff several months later. And this was the new stuff that mattered to the conversation. You know, Kyrie's people have blown me off. And KD's friends have said, you know, after I appeared on your guys' show before, and, you know, we talked about them smoking weed or whatever, they're like, is this actually real, or like, stay away from me. You know, I think that's understandable. Some of them maybe didn't know what they were getting into with kind of stuff being always on the record with me. But that didn't stop me from going back to folks who I didn't want to set them up to reveal their true selves, but this vaccine thing matters. And I think Kyrie has always been pretty out there with a lot of his beliefs. He's a good guy too, for sure. But I guess I was replaced at Nets Media Day on Monday by David Letterman. Do you see him out there?
Yes. Stupid it was painful. It was painful. It was uncomfortable.
But Katie was like, I guess they'll let anyone in here. So anyone but me, I guess.
Did you at all feel threatened?
No. Just because it's bodyguards saying they're going to stop talking to you doesn't mean they're going to do anything. I don't feel welcome. You know, we'll see if they let me in the building. And certainly fans have ganged up on me and think I'm some, you know, liar with an agenda out to get KD and Kyrie. But, you know, these are public figures, and they're now in the middle of a major public health crisis. And I think people are looking to them. And that's what my book is about, right? Role models and the limitations of influence. We're seeing role models being put to the test once again.
Can you tell the audience, Matt, for those who haven't read the article, Kyrie Irving's aunt and her viewpoints and what she's talking about? Because I hadn't seen her quoted before.
Kooky Aunt Tyke does a lot of good for the world. She runs Kyrie's foundation, you know, water security in Africa, camps for kids. Kyrie does a lot of good, too, without taking credit for it. But, man, she just kind of went off the deep end, to be honest. And she's out here talking about, quote, Dr. Fauci, and how, you know, can't put things in your body, and how Kyrie's going to figure this out as it comes with the vaccines. You know, she says you might have to sit on the sideline, you might not be in the arena. And she said, if it's that freaking important to get a vaccine, that hell, it's still not preventing the COVID, which we know that it is. Then I'd rather them work it out that way than say, hey, if you don't get the vaccine, then you can't be part of the franchise that you helped build. So I think she revealed, you know, and she's definitely one of the closer people in his, you know, increasingly tight circle, who is definitely absolutely familiar with his thinking, but her thinking is full of misinformation, and she talked about that. She went off on that, and I just kind of let her talk. And similar to my phone call to Jonathan Isaac, who, as we know, was the guy who stood up when everyone took a knee during the anthem in the bubble. And I gave him every chance to explain himself too. And he just went off about how he'd stand for the anthem again, about how he doesn't understand why, if you're vaccinated, you still have to wear masks in some places. I almost wanted to interrupt him and be like, dude, it's about not killing people. But I tried to let him say his piece and present it as he said it. And he's entitled to his opinion and his religious freedom. But, you know, on Monday, after the article kind of starts going around a lot, he's tweeting about my story, and he sounds like Trump. He's like, true journalism is dying. I believe it is your God-given right to decide if taking the vaccine is right for you, period. More to follow. Which, doesn't that kind of negate the whole point of saying period, to say more to follow? Anyway.
Your reporting on this has been something that has caused a conversation throughout sports. We were talking before you came on about this movement. 10% is more vaccinated than the country, having only 10% of your league not vaccinated, but it pales compared to the WNBA. We were talking about how disposable the bodies are in football or the WNBA. What's happening here with power and player empowerment and Kyrie knowing that he can get away with just about anything because they run that team and they are an economy around that team, so he's pushing against all these boundaries as this polarizing weirdo, you know, basketball icon.
Well, he's certainly not taking this as a religious exemption as New York lets you apply for. And, you know, he's a practicing Christian and Muslim and reconnected with his Sioux tribe recently, as I detail in the Rolling Stone story. But I think he also reveals how, like, the Hoopers are just sick of testing. Like, they don't always trust the science, clearly, but if they don't want to have to get vaxxed, they don't want to get tested on their off days. There's a sticking point in the negotiations, which are still ongoing between the PA, the players union, and the league, that these guys want to be able to freely go to indoor activities such as lounges and nightclubs, which is a league source said that's always the last sticking point. But I think it's not just Kyrie, Dan. You know, think about some of these other faces of the league. A league source told me that, you know, they've been having trouble getting superstars to participate in public service campaigns, public PSAs for the vaccine to fans. If you think about, Black Americans continue to be the slowest to adopt the vaccine, according to demographics measured by the CDC. But think about Giannis. Giannis's brother went into the COVID protocol before game 5 of the finals. You're telling me that Giannis wasn't a, quote, close contact of him? They hug it out every 5 minutes. And Giannis said, I mean, did Giannis say whether he was vaccinated back then? I know he did a media day, but I don't believe so. He is vaccinated now. But once again, there are certain players, Dan, for whom the NBA is just going to look the other way. I mean, science is big. Player health is paramount. But, you know, the coin don't lie. I mean, not to totally go there, but LeBron, we all remember when he was partying maskless with Drake and Michael B. Jordan in May. And LeBron says it's about me and my family, personal choice, you know, kind of in line with his usual, I'm not educated enough, evasive answer. And if you remember, it forced like the head communications officer of the NBA to put out this very awkward clarifying statement about LeBron attended an outdoor event. And but it said, like, under current NBA rules, vaccinated players are permitted to engage in outside activities. It never said LeBron is vaccinated. LeBron never said he's vaccinated. Was he really vaccinated? Is he now because he wants to be, or because LeBron Inc. and Rob Pelinka didn't want to get caught and just want to get through this? I think that's the limits of personal player empowerment here. What? Is Kyrie wants to be Kyrie, and KD wants to be KD. Harden wants to be Harden. But at some point, it's like KD's got to be, yo, bro, get the shot. We got to play. And I think we'll see. I mean, Kyrie is an acid test for whether he's really willing to go there and whether the NBA is going to stop influencing on this particular issue for as progressive as they've been on everything else.
The reporting on this from Vince Goodwill is that KD will get him to get vaccinated before this is done. But I'd like to play the sound for the audience. You called her the kooky aunt. Is that the adjective that you used, kooky?
She does a lot of good for the world in running Kyrie's Family Foundation. But man, she just jumped off the deep end and it didn't surprise me.
Let's play that sound for the audience so that they can hear her in her own words.
There can be some kind of formula where the NBA and the players can kind of come to this agreement where it's like, okay, well, we won't play the full 25 games. Okay, because you guys, obviously, in order for us to do that, we must have this vaccination, but we're not getting the vaccination. So what does it look like if we play at least 15 or 10 of these games? And then they can figure out what that looks like, right? If it's that freaking important to get a vaccine that, hell, is still not preventing the COVID, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that's something that has to be done, then I'd rather them work it out that way than to say, hey, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't be a part of the franchise that you helped build. Excuse my friend.
Matt, what do you think the NBA should do?
Well, to be clear, Stugatz, when I put this to the NBA, to some of their most high-ranking medical officials, there is no deal. New York City law requires players to be vaccinated to play home games at the Barclays Center. The Knicks, of all teams, are 100% vaccinated. But the league is in a bind. And they told me, these top medical officers told me, you know, if New York City says this isn't cool, we have to abide by the law. And so it's part of a lot of the eye rolling here. But if Kyrie wants to pull a kind of anti-Kaepernick stand for what he sees as his personal freedom and be a, I guess, role model for vaccine deniers, they can't do anything. The league is facing this pressure from the union, which is one of America's strongest unions, and they are just 100% out on the league's 100% desire to get these guys vaccinated, the league's 100% belief in science. And this is really a sticking point. This is really a rubber meeting the road kind
of
thing.
But the union can't set the precedent, Matt. The union cannot set the precedent of allowing the league to infiltrate their their membership's body, physical body, almost under any circumstances, right? You just can't set that as the precedent. This isn't even that hard to understand, is it?
Well, it's hard to understand how some of these conversations with the players' union going back to the beginning of these negotiations were, I don't want to say agenda setting was going on with the anti-vaxxers, but these guys were heard. They were given a fair shake. And these are people who explore or at least group chat about some pretty crazy shit. And the CDC, again, reminded everyone on Tuesday that the messenger RNA from the vaccine is, quote, present in the body for a short time and is not incorporated, nor does it alter an individual's genetic material, which some people out there on the internet believe. And the young people in the NBA read the internet. And so I don't think it's a stretch to say that some of this out there thinking defines some of the league's other parameters for negotiation, including testing on off days and beyond. I mean, there is no wiggle room coming at all from the PA. And the league is just trying to send out its kind of testing nerds as best as it can. And, you know, they've got monitoring in place, but they can't really punish these guys for ignoring science.
Matt, is what's happening here just the QAnon internet rot brain stuff that is happening when people go down these conspiracy theory holes? Like, is that you're going to get a certain member, any membership of any kind, you're going to find some people who have this internet rot brain?
I mean, I think there's something to be said for the preciousness of bodies. These guys' bodies are their livelihoods, but they also have top medical professionals around them all day to make sure that they're as healthy as freaking possible, because there's billions of dollars at stake. Sure, young people go down rabbit holes. It's happening in the NFL. You know, forged ID, vax IDs are apparently happening in the NFL, which the NBA told me they would hunt down and sweep state databases for if it happened in the NBA. But yeah, I think it's a bit of the groupthink of the NBA. I mean, I remember this passage in my book. It's right up in the front. It was kind of scary to think. It was like, okay, I was setting up the flat earth stuff, and then I asked Instagram, you know, does Kyrie have like more engagement on Instagram than Trump? This is when Trump was still allowed on Instagram. And they were like, yeah, he does. And I talked to the head of Instagram, and he's saying, it's okay. It's actually good for fans to see, you know, famous people who disagree with common thinking. And then your average fan will find out who they find authentic and engage with them. And then, like, the next paragraph in my book is talking to this seventh grader from Kyrie's old middle school, the star of the basketball team. And he's like, yeah, I love everything Kyrie posts, even the weird stuff. And so I just worry about that cycle of internet misinformation meets celebrity, really at this moment, building up to something potentially dangerous.
Matt, knowing the dynamic of the Nets as you do, how do you see this playing out? Because it's unfathomable to me that he might actually sit out the team's home games, but yet he seems pretty resolute on this. How would you imagine it's going to play out?
Well, he claims there's a plan and it will all come out in due time, which I buy. I think he wants it to be on his own terms, on his own platform. You know, Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, has to be pretty frustrated. Sean Marks, the GM of the Nets, has, as I reported in my book, flouted COVID protocols before. I don't think it would be out of the realm of possibility for Kyrie to put together some of his religious elements, which he has been expanding over the years. You know, he recently got a tribal ID from the Sioux reservation at Standing Rock. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to fake his way into this or backdoor his way in through some loophole, but it's kind of either that, don't play, or give in to KD guilt tripping him to do this to win a championship. But we've seen, like, Kyrie doesn't give a shit about skipping games or losing money. Last season, after the Capitol riot, he just ditches the team. And there's some other family stuff involved, apparently, like spiritual, mental break from everything. And he was pissed off about the cop who shot Jacob Blake getting off. But then he just comes back, like, kind of like nothing happened, and claims he's devoted to his team, which he claims now. But he also ducked a question at Media Day like three or four times about this. But then there was one from like the local sports dude asking a kind of layup question, like, how do you feel about the fans? Like, are you disappointing them? And he's like, well, I'm, you know, there for my teammates and my followers who care about me and my tribe off the court. So I don't know, Greg. It's like, does he really care about pleasing people, or does he feel like, you know, put upon by the system of the man and Joe Tsai making millions of dollars off of his precious black body? That's fair for him to decide, but I don't know what the hell that plan is, and I hope for the Nets' championship's sake that it makes a little more sense than things with Kyrie tend to do.
A tweeter writes in, I've been listening since the beginning of this show on local Miami radio. More and more, I am embarrassed by how much of a boomer Dan is now. Kyrie is an adult, not a child. He's allowed to do what he wants with his body without anyone questioning it. Unvaccinated does not equal sick. WTF is wrong with you people. I'm ashamed of this show. They used to see through the bullshit in society.
Is that guy?
Matt, I've got some Bomani Jones criticisms of your article. I don't know if you have seen this or not, but claiming,
I just saw him tweet about it. I didn't listen to his show. I love Bomani.
Claiming the anti-vaxxers have taken over the league, a league that's 90% vaccinated. How can you claim that it's been taken over when it's only 10% of the populace?
The NBA is getting there. They're down to, I think, from 60 to 50, maybe under 40 guys we're talking about unvaccinated. I think it's that they speak almost rebelliously for this, I don't want to call it silent majority, because that's got kind of a loaded term, but there are more guys who are vaccinated who also feel this way, but they are sucking it up and literally taking one for the team. I don't want to be that guy who claims to understand the nuances of Black history. I read up on Tuskegee and all that, but there's also a fine line between an excuse and an abdication of your influence. And I was on MSNBC with our friend Jamel last night, and she was saying that these guys need to stop trusting YouTube. You know, Brad Beal should not be out here being the spokesman for personal freedom. You know, why is he an expert on this stuff? Why is Bradley Beal, you know, he's saying, you know, some of these guys say, Kevin Durant says, who is this guy to know anything about hooping who's never played it beyond JV in his life or whatever? But who are these guys to be medical experts just because they're really in shape and have been surrounded by medical experts? And so I totally respect what Bomani's saying and don't want to overvalue these kind of crazy guys and give too much, you know, airspace to like microchip implantation theories. But I think this has been kind of an open secret that it's a bigger deal in this league. And look, it might just be that the NBA, for all of the influence they've had and all the good that they've done for progressive causes, that this is just one that they're not going to lead on.
You can find anyone other than Kareem to make the strong pro-vaccine stance?
I wasn't, and still I'm trying to speak with Damian Lillard, who I thought was an adult in the room for sure, when he spoke at Media Day and just said, you know, this is going to save lives. I got the flu shot when I was a kid. I don't know shit about the flu shot. I think Kareem is incredible. You know, I've known him for quite some time and, you know, edited his writing in the past. And you know, I mean, do any of you guys watch that show, Dave, on FX? There's this episode where the main character, this white rapper who writes a song kind of appropriating Kareem. And then, this isn't a spoiler, but he ends up over at Kareem's house where, let's just say, the rest of us can only hope to be sitting in finely designed mansions someday, sipping like tea in the den by the laptop. But he's like pondering this essay and, you know, trolling the shit out of conservative America with such calm and such grace, such wisdom. You know, he and Bill Russell, the rest of us should all just stop tweeting and listen to them, I think. But there are other adults in the room. Enos Kanter has been great on this stuff, not afraid to call a spade a spade. And the best thing guys like, you know, the adults in the room can do is educate on the level to their teammates and say, yo, this isn't just safe for you and my grandfather and the ref and the coach who's maybe has some underlying condition, but this is good for our team. Like, you saw KD miss a bunch of games last year because he was exposed to someone, I don't know if it was an entourage or whatever, who, you know, was a close contact, similar to what I strongly believe that Giannis was during the finals. And if the NBA takes Giannis out of that game for game 5, 6, whatever of the NBA finals because his brother had COVID, it changes the entire balance of the league. And so this is relevant. This is not just personal freedom. This is, we're talking basketball questions now.
Matt, thank you for being on with us. Appreciate the reporting, telling the audience again, can't knock the hustle inside the season of protest, pandemic, and progress with the Brooklyn Nets Superstars of Tomorrow is available now. And it's an unusual book. This access is really unusual. It's an unfiltered look into that Nets team that you'll find fascinating if it stays together. Thank you, Matt.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, listening audience, it's Mike Ryan. And you're a sports fan if you're listening to this show. Well, up for debate. You may not know this, but Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, that's key, and their low-price guarantee. Game Time takes a guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I was actually in Baltimore last season, always wanted to check out that ballpark, and I actually went to the Game Time app to actually see exactly what I was dealing with. And on top of that, I got a killer deal. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Don Levitard.
Who is the comedian? Is it James Mulvaney? How do you pronounce his...
John Mulaney?
There you go. Thank you. John Mulaney.
$2, yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad fine. Wow. He's Everybody started shaking their head.
I mean, he's arguably the most popular comedian right now. James Mulvaney.
Stugatz.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is John Mulvaney the most popular columnist at Levitard?
Oh, my God. Comedian, Dan. Jesus, get it together.
Excuse me. Comedian. My bad.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Are you ready, Greg?
I'm ready.
Do you want to put your headset on or not so much?
It doesn't matter.
Typically,
doesn't matter.
We prefer the headphones not directly on the microphone.
That kind of thing.
If you want to hear us back here,
we're going to you here.
All right, let's do Back in My Day. I hope they air all of that. He just had his headset, the only tools he really needs, right? We provide everything else.
Yeah.
All he's got to do is put the only job is, and he thinks he's been great today.
I didn't say that.
Oh, yes.
The listener did.
Right.
The only job is to put on your headset, and he said he was ready, but the headset was on the microphone, and we could have done the rest of the show, and he would have never known that he wasn't hearing any of us.
Three tools. He needs his coffee, he needs his headsets, and of course, he needs his inhaler, okay?
Oh, he forgot it this week. He came in, and that was a great conversation, saying, did anyone use my inhaler? Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Would you use somebody else's inhaler? He was accusing people because he left it here in his seat of somebody coming in and sneaking a few puffs.
I think 3 years ago, someone would have used Greg's inhaler if they indeed needed it. But right now, I think that's the worst possible thing you could share. It's that or a bong. I mean.
Okay. Let's do this. Back in my day.
Yeah.
Starting with a cough.
And now, is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Water. I love and respect water so much. Not so much that I would actually drink enough of it on behalf of my own health, but I'm all in on the idea of water. It is nature's beverage, the fundamentally perfect drink. Yet we take it for granted. We forget that for 5 years in Flint, Michigan, there was a water crisis so severe it flowed urine-colored from the tap. We'd rather look the other way to the fact about 15% of the world's nearly 8 billion people do not have regular access to water. The rest of us, who have as much as we want, not only take it for granted, we disrespect it. How? By forgetting it is perfect as is, by trying to put red lipstick and a wig on the Mona Lisa. There is only one type of real water. The flat variety that can be improved upon only by an ice cube or refrigeration. I go into an upscale restaurant and the waiter asks if I'd like sparkling, distilled, or tap, except he says tap with a pitying sneer, as if ordering tap would be akin to ordering a filet mignon well done with ketchup. Sir, I tell the waiter, not only do I wish tap, I would prefer it be obtained from the bathroom faucet and carried to me in a Dixie cup so I might further celebrate the no-frills, grassroots, elemental joy of this king of thirst-quenching.
Yes.
You know what got me started on this? Was the memory of a recent gimmick by Whole Foods called, I'm not lying, asparagus water. Seriously, it was two cups of water with three stalks of asparagus standing in it, 473 milliliters of aggressively foul-smelling water for $5.99. There's also something called smart water. That's vapor distilled water with electrolytes added. Online, I saw a sign out front of a restaurant that said, if you paid $5 for smart water, it isn't working. How gullible are we? Smart water advertises a distinctive, crisp, clean taste, quote unquote. It neglects to advertise the calcium chloride, magnesium chloride, and potassium bicarbonate. Of course, most of the H2O crowd just sticks with your basic bottled spring water. No problem with that, right? Sure, bottled water uses fossil fuels that contribute to global warming. And yes, 80% of the plastic water bottles end up as landfill and they decompose, leak chemicals that cause health issues, including reproductive problems and cancer. But those bottles sure are convenient, huh? Special pockets for them on backpacks, so how bad can they be? There is a solution to the asparagus water and smart water and the scourge of flavored waters and bottled spring water and all the other overpriced versions of what is natural and very nearly free. It is staring at you every time you walk into the kitchen or bathroom. It's your tap, looking at you like a sad face, two eyes and a snout. America, do what we did back when we were too smart to spend big for smart water. Don't let them play taps to the tap. Take a nostalgia trip. Put a glass under your home faucet. Smile as you gently turn the spigot. And let the fall of water fill your ears and your soul as it fills that glass. You'll be so happy you'll feel like tap dancing. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
Yes.
You drink bathroom water out of the tap?
Damn right.
Oh, it's delicious.
I not only drink it, I revel in it.
To Americans.
Oh, it's fantastic.